Good morning. As you may or may not be aware, John is traveling. I think they're on their way back with a lot less stuff than they went down with, they hope. They were going down to meet Beth and take her everything that was stored at their place so that they would have less to move. Yeah, so now they're down to two semi-trailers and a flatbed. Moving is such an annoying thing. So I've decided I'm not moving anywhere ever again. And my wife says, that's right, you just sit on that couch. Yeah. So what's going on this week? We're starting to get back to normal. Mondays we have prayer time between 2 and 3. If you want to know anything more about that, the Clark's away this week, but the Golds are right there. They're the ones you can chase. On Tuesdays, we normally have a men's night, but we're still have that suspended for now. Wednesday mornings is our ladies' group, the visionary group, and they meet here starting at 10. And not till September. And I was going to come this week. Okay, so not till September for the ladies again. September the 8th. And that's a Wednesday. Good. Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, Bible discussion with John. And he will be back for that this week. And Friday evenings, we have nothing going on. It's a nice quiet evening. But Saturday at 7, we have prayer time. And if you want to be part of that, just see Jim and Grace. They're sitting back in the corner. Okay? Birthdays. July the 22nd is nobody's birthday. But the 27th is Judy's. And she's much younger than Carl.
As long as she looks much younger.
Yes. Yeah. We have Anna on the 30th, Hannah on the 30th as well, and Sue B on the 31st. Yes. Anniversaries, Sue and Gord. How many weeks has it been, guys?
I can't remember.
Well, let's start with that then.
It'll be 48 years.
48 years. Well done. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Prayer requests. Dorothy is still struggling with tendonitis and is on bed rest for the next couple of days, trying to put that to bed, so to speak, so she gets some relief. The Clarks are asking for travel mercies. As they leave on Thursday for their holidays in Newfoundland, they'll be returning on the 2nd of September. So if Bruce or Donna, you know, you need something off them, get it early this week. And Catherine, she is still going through a nasty time with her varicose veins and so forth. They keep just rupturing on her. And if you've ever seen blood spatter 3.5 feet up the wall. And the poor woman is not very comfortable. So if you have a spare moment and you think of it, just give Catherine a call, because she's kind of housebound right now. So she'd love to hear from anyone. Suzanne, you want to tell us about Suzanne, Richard?
Yeah.
One more there. So Lord, for all that's going on in our lives, Lord, we can do so little about it sometimes. But Father, you're in control. You are the one that we turn to. We pray that you will just be with all of us in this family this week. And Father, we just want to absolutely just throw ourselves on your mercy for all of those in our family that need prayer. And Lord, for the praises that we send to you this day. Father, they're not our doing. They're yours. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives, for the healing that you're providing, for the comfort that you're providing, and for everything that you do for us daily. Father, be with us today as we enjoy the fellowship and as we worship you. And to do that, we're going to begin with bringing our worship team up so, Father, they can just praise you. And, Lord, we hope that you find it pleasing to your ears. In your Son's name, amen. Come on up, crew. Two things. The music. The worship this morning. Fabulous. And I was told that I forgot to say that the offering plate is at the back, so please use it as appropriate. This morning, I'm going to start with a question. There's going to be three questions this morning that we want to deal with. The first one is, what is the most precious gift that God can possibly give us? And he gives it to all of us. Thoughts? Eternal life. There's one.
Salvation.
Salvation. There's another one.
Forgiveness.
What else?
Love.
Love. You can tell our age by the way we're answering this. What's the most precious thing in your life, Susan? What's the most precious thing in your lives? Yeah. I think the most precious thing that God gives us is a baby. Salvation, yes. We'd be nowhere without that. But if we just got salvation and there was no next generation, where would we be? We would all go to sleep. Christianity would end. And this world, I think, would be in a horrid state, because people would not have anything to look forward to. Salvation is one thing, but if you're going to spend it on your own with nobody else you know, with no looking forward, only looking back, what did God expect of each of us when he called us to him? Because God called each and every one of us in some way to come to him, to be part of his family, and to experience his love, his greatness, and his power. And when we experience him, I have yet to find anybody that hasn't felt that they were in some way drawn to do something specific. It may have been the first time to just walk through the door of a church, or to talk to that weird guy who carried that funny book with him everywhere he went, and say, what's in that Bible thing that you carry that I see you reading at lunchtime? He does something to bring us towards him. And then he calmly waits for us to accept the invitation. So God just wants us to be a child. Just a child. They're the most precious thing he creates. Because if it wasn't for children, there'd be no adults. And there's some days when I prefer to deal with kids than I would adults. Because they have a simpler, less complex way of looking at things. And if you ask a child a question, they just answer it honestly. There's no, well, what will they think of me if I say, well, I can't say that. And, well, they're from that group. I better answer that question that way. You ask a kid, do you like it or not? They don't worry about your feelings. No. Uncle Phil, that tastes rotten. But that's my favorite kind of tea. Ew, tea. Kids have no guile. They learn that from us, don't they? In Psalms, he said, Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I do not get involved with things too great or too difficult for me. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a little weaned child with its mother. I am like a little child. Why? Why is it appealing to people to be like a little child? Yes. And? Life is fun. Going to school is fun. Going to grandma's is fun. Going to see Uncle Phil, well, not so much. But a child has a whole clean, bright way of looking at every day. I think as we get older, we get a little jaded. We get a little less comfortable with things that we don't know, with things that are going to happen for the first time. The first time you meet somebody new, oh, I wonder, do I shake their hand? It's COVID, no, so we got to stay 6 feet apart. Do I smile? Well, they won't know I'm smiling. I got a mask on. Kids don't care, do they? They don't go through those thought processes that we do. We just accept life and God for who and what he is. So what special qualifications was God looking for when he approached each of us? Did he care whether we were male or female? Tall? Or short? Or shorter? Or bald? Or lots of hair like Carl? Can grow a great beard like Norm? Has the gift of singing like Irm Gardner family? What is God looking for? What special qualifications are there? Because I think there are some.
Trust and obedience.
To?
Whatever he says.
Yes. What else? What else does God look for? In Mark, it says, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anybody wants to be the first, he must be the last and a servant to all. Well, we look at that passage and we think of it with our adult mind and say, okay, he called the 12 and if everyone, okay, so we've got to be like what? We've got to be like servants to everybody, right? So, how can I be a servant to these people? How can I be a servant to this one? Oh, I can't be a servant to them because they don't like, spaghetti and meatballs, and that's what we're having tonight for supper. So we can't ask them to dinner. Maybe next week we could have them, because we've got steaks in the freezer, right, dear? Yes? Okay. If you're a child, Mom, can John stay for supper? Do they care what's for supper? No. Mom, can John come with us to the park? Do they care that John's mom has told John, you be home by 6 o'clock and it's now 5:55? No. Dad, can we take Judy to the movies with us? They don't care that Judy has no money to go to the movies. They don't look at people and judge them before they think about what they're going to do with them, for them. And isn't that a great way to be? That if we didn't worry about whether we had the right wine to serve with the fish, and that scalloped potatoes only go with baked ham, and that garlic bread, you can only have garlic bread with lasagna and other Italian food. You can never have garlic bread on your own. I love leftover garlic bread, personally, with peanut butter on it. Yeah. It's because I have a simple child's mind. I like peanut butter, I like garlic bread, put them together. Doesn't get better than that. So Jesus has them sitting beside him. And he took a child and had him stand among them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one little child such as this in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not, and it should, I think, say, just welcome me, but him who sent me. So Jesus knew the way kids thought. Jesus saw that they had no guile. And he used them as an example for the disciples. These 12 men were there doing their apprenticeship. They didn't know that that's what it was at the time, but they were learning how to appreciate people and how to think like children. In Deuteronomy, it says, the hidden things belong to the Lord our God, but the revealed things belong to us and our children forever, so that we may follow all the words of this law. Now, this little bit of text to a Jewish man held a tremendous amount of meaning. It wasn't just this law that they were concerned about. They had, Norm, how many laws?
613, beside the thousands of the Pharisees added.
Yeah. So, how many kids do you know that can memorize 613 laws plus thousands of others? They just don't do it. They know what mom and dad like. Dad. And they choose, surprisingly often, to do the right thing. I've always been in awe how we teach kids to do the wrong thing. And they manage to do the right thing so often on their own if we don't interfere. And I've never understood that. But it seems to happen. We remember the bad things the kids do because those are the things we've reacted to so strenuously. But the good stuff that they do, we just sort of, oh, yeah, well, that was good. We expect that. Don't touch that on the ground. Oh, yeah, you can play with your ball. Zipping on the ground? Oh, okay. So that didn't make sense. But the kid doesn't care. He says, okay, I can't play with a stick, but I can play with a ball. It's all good. Children have a way of looking at and interacting with the world and us that they very quickly learn how to adapt. They're not stuck in a rut where when I get up in the morning, I put on my left shoe first and my right shoe. Darn, I forgot to put on the pants again. Let's start over again. Left leg in, right leg in, left shoe on, right shoe on. Good, I can start the day. Oh, Carl, you had to bring up socks, didn't you? Ever watched a kid get dressed in the morning? They don't seem to care what goes on first, but it all gets on there. And bang, they're out the door. And then mom's, get back in here, it's breakfast time. And their day starts. How simple would life be if we could all just react to each other the way a child reacts? And I don't mean you slapped me, so I'm going to slap you. Kids just say what's on their heart, say what they want to do, and then it's up to us to react to that. So I think we've established Jesus-like kids. But why, when he spoke to the disciples, did he talk about welcoming one little child? What's the relevance in our lives of one little child? Irmgard, first grandchild. What did you think of that one little child? And did any other child matter in that moment?
No.
When we have children come into our lives, they're immediately the focus. The new baby arrives, and who doesn't like seeing a great big 6'2" football player? Coochie, 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 coochie. Oh, aren't you so cute? But we do it because we love kids too, don't we? Sometimes only for a short period of time. But kids are important to us. Kids are important to God. And guess what? I'm a kid, as far as God's concerned. I mean, some of you look at me and say, oh, he's an old guy. In the grand scheme of things and the length of time that eternity lasts, I'm a kid. I'm just a youngster. I have so much more to learn. And I have a father who wants to teach me, a father who wants to guide me. I was lucky to have a father who was here with me on earth when I was young, and I'm ever so much more lucky that I have a father who is eternal, who cares for me and cares for all of us. And Mark says, I assure you, whoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So, I am an adult of some 70-odd years, plus a little bit maybe, and I want to get to heaven. I make that decision that, yep, I've heard enough from someone that I make a decision. I want to enter heaven. How does it say that we're going to get there? I'm going to get there because I have an MBA in whatever. I am an expert. I have learned more and more about less and less, and now I know everything there is to know about nothing. I am an intellectually superior being. And God says, I don't care. I want you to come to me as a little child with your heart open, with your mind open, and willing to learn. In Luke, he talks about blessing the children. And it says some people were even bringing infants to him so he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they were very adult and they controlled the situation and they rebuked them. Take those little ones away. And Jesus, however, said, No. Let the little ones come to me and don't stop them because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. It doesn't belong to those who would like to show themselves to be incredibly knowledgeable and astute. It doesn't mean that those people who study God, study the Bible, study everything they can about Him aren't welcome. But they're to enter into God's presence. How? As a child. Simply without guile. I'm here, Dad. Thank you for everything you've done for me so far. Thank you for everything I think you're going to do for me, because are we going to Dairy Queen after church, Dad? Oh, Swiss Chalet again. Dry chicken. Huh. They arrive at God's feet. We arrive at God's feet without understanding anything about what's going on in this universe. I truly, honestly believe that when we get to heaven and we sit down for that big discussion that never probably takes place, because once we get there, we just know. We will understand what's been going on in the world. And we'll accept it as a little child accepts what's going on around them. That's the way it is. I see it. I understand now. Thank you, Daddy. And what does he say back? What is God going to tell us back? You've been naughty. Carl, you had 2 donuts. You were only supposed to have 1. Barry, you're driving your car too fast. Yeah. So, when we first kicked that thing and tried to knock it over, when we first came to God, do you remember what it was like? I mean, most of us, I think, have been Christ followers for some period of time. My wife loves playing my baptism and showing me coming up out of the water, spluttering and bubbling and burbling, and then trying to tell people how incredibly wonderful I felt and how incredibly glad I was. Because I tried to write it all down and I had it ready. You ever taken a piece of paper with ink on it into a full immersion baptism? It didn't work out well. And Liz loves watching me trying to unfold this wet piece of paper. And she sits there and giggles about it. And guess what? God accepted me that day. And it was just because I came to him as a bumbling fool, a child, not an intellectual, not somebody who had been working for 30 years, not somebody who was in charge of other people in their day-to-day work, but just as a child. So, how can we be adoptive parents? God was kind enough to adopt me and each of you. What can we do to model what God does? Because shouldn't kids model what their parents do? So if this God, who I've never met personally yet, is going to be so open to me that he'll accept me with all my warts and bumps and crazy ideas, how do I model that? He didn't care that I was 40-some years old when I came to his family. He didn't care when my niece, who was 8, said to her dad one day after Sunday school, "Daddy, I want to get baptized." And my brother Bruce said to his daughter, he says, "Where did you get this idea of baptism?" "Oh, Sunday school. I read about some guy who smelled funny and ate honey. And he baptized people and God liked it. And he even spoke to his son when it happened to him. So I want to get baptized." My brother thought, okay. Usually we have the kids dedicated when they're just, you know, little babes in arms. And then later people make a decision. She's not old enough to know what she's doing, can she? How can she know what she's doing? She's 8 years old. And his wife said, "You're going to say no? Are you nuts?" So he spoke to his pastor. And his pastor said, "Sure." And my brother, being the intellect, said, "Are you sure she's ready for it?" And the pastor said to my brother, "She is. I'm not so sure about you." And Bruce was like, "What?" I work at the church, you know, one night a week, and I help when things need to be done around here. How can you say that about me?" And the pastor said, he said, "God took you in. He didn't care what place, what state, how old, how young you were. You made a decision. He accepted you. Why would we deny your daughter that?" So, open my brother's eyes, and his little girl, who is now just turned 24, given him 2 grandchildren, and is a sweet young lady, still goes to church every Sunday. So, I was never blessed with having children. Do I have people that I consider my children, my friends that are so close to me that I love them like a child? Yeah. And sometimes it's other kids, people's kids that I borrow, I spoil them and send them back. But when I do that, I try and leave them with a little bit of what I felt when I got adopted into the family. And I speak to people who are much closer to my age than they are to being considered children. And I try and explain to them that they need not worry about how they come to God's family. Because he's not worried how you got there, just that you're there at the door and you're ready to come in. So we can all be adoptive parents the same way as God is. We all have friends who are nice people who don't know Christ. We can all be a parent to that person, regardless of their age, whether they're younger, older, or the same age as we are. We can all help be parents in an eternal family by inviting others to join us and experience what we've experienced. Not in a manner that's, I've got six. How many of you got? Six what? So you got six magic marker lines on your sleeve. So you've brought six people into the family. Well, guess what? You didn't do it anyhow. God brought those people. You were just at the door saying, yes, come on in. Let me tell you a little bit about this place. Let me tell you a little bit about the Father when they're ready. Romans, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit, we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So there's a reward for being an adoptive parent. Parents sometimes, I think, feel as though they're rewarded, other times punished, depending upon how the child is acting at any given time. And just like a parent, when I do something that is contrary to God's word and to God's intent for my life, he has a way of punishing me. And it leaves me asking that little simple question, why is this going on right now? What have I done? What's going on in my life? What is the reason for this? And I slip out of being a child, slip into being the intellect, and usually fail and miss the point of what's going on until somebody, usually a close friend, that says, Phil, we need to chat. Don't you know what's going on? Can't you see that God's not happy about that? Oh. Okay. So, right. Thanks, Dad. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So, if you don't provide for your family, what does the Bible say? What does it say? Worse than an unbeliever. What does that mean? How bad is an unbeliever? What's an unbeliever not got? Salvation. Promise of what? Life eternal. That's salvation. Spending time with Dad. So an unbeliever has not got that to look forward to. God has given a gift freely to everybody, the opportunity to be a member of his family. And I think it's not a good thing if we are satisfied with just being a member of the family. I think that we have to be not just a member of the family, but a member of the family that helps provide for the family. And I don't think that matters what age we are. When we as God-following people see things that are unjust and not right and ungodly, I think God expects us to do something about it. And because he's freely given us and everybody else that comes to him eternal life, a place in heaven, he doesn't say we're going to be camped in the woods when we get there. He's got something prepared for us, for each and every one of us. And we're going to have our own room, our own mansion, whatever way you care to look at it. But we're going to have a spot in his household to live. My father growing up provided the nicest home he possibly could for us. I mean, he was a 6'2" Scotsman who loved rugby, who, if you tickled him, squealed like a girl, who worked split shifts and overtime so that we as kids could have bicycles and food on the table and clothes on our back and go away for 10 days every summer somewhere, loaded up the car, and hopefully the car made it there and made it back. But he didn't expect anything back for that. He wanted us to behave, yes, and he hated it when I kicked the back of his seat when he was driving. That was not a good thing to do to Dad. But if I really had to stop and pee, that's what I did. I kicked the back seat, and he took notice of me. I acted as a child. I got treated as a child. He acted as a father and treated me as a child. He didn't say, well, you should have known all about that before we left the house. He would always say, again, will you never learn to go before we leave home? How many people do we have in our lives that we care about, that are new Christians or maybe almost Christians? How open are people to, well, it says here in Matthew 7, 14 to 16, that I have a lot of work, or do they look at us and say, what's going on in their house? There are people that keep showing up there, sometimes late in the evening, and they go out, and a couple of hours later, they come back out again, and what have they been doing in there? And I've had neighbors say to me, he said, you know, what are those people going into your house for there on Tuesday nights? Oh, it's a men's group. Group of men doing what? Do you watch the races or football or hockey's not on this time of year? What's going on? No, no, no. And you explain it to them. And they then, lo and behold, they show up at your house one Tuesday night. It's okay if I come in? Yeah. And they come in, and I'm sure, have you ever walked into a crowd of people you don't know? And do you feel superior, or do you feel, oh, I'm just a little nervous here? Wonder what these people are like. How are they going to treat me? Well, when that happens to you, whether it's somebody joining you for a coffee or joining you for a Bible study or joining you to sit in the backyard and watch the hummingbirds feed, treat them like family. Make your life so childlike, so simple, that they just have to ask, how come you're this way? How come when everybody else is running that direction, are you just standing firm and saying, yeah, bring it on. That's fine. You don't like the way you think? That's okay. I respect you and the way you think. I may not agree with it, but I respect it, and I'm not going to do anything to try and dissuade you from who you are or what you are. I'm just going to show you what God's done in my life and what he can do in yours. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to judge you. Come on. Come on in the backyard and let's play beanbag toss and talk about things. Just like a kid. Make it simple. Make it loving. Love our neighbors, right? Love them like you would a kid. Doesn't mean they got to sit on your knee. But sit and talk to them, love them, and be part of who they are. Meet them where they are. Be the child. Kids don't say, well, you know, I know how to play basketball, and my favorite position is, and because you don't know anything about it, we're going to put you there. They just say, come on, let's play basketball. Let's play hoops. Oh, we forgot the ball. Well, let's throw stones up there then. That'll do. They don't care, do they? Kids love being with other kids and just doing kid-like things. So if we as adults could learn to be a little more childlike in a responsible way, how more attractive are we to others? I see a gentleman that goes out 3 days a week. He's an engineer. And he goes out, very nice suits, he's well-dressed, in his car. And he goes to work. Because 3 days a week, he's got to go into the office and do his engineering stamping thing. And then he comes home. And when he comes home, man, he's the first one into shorts, into a t-shirt, and out by the pool. And whoever comes, come on, sit, have a coffee with us, have a pop, have a swim. And he talks to them about this fella who's in his life, Jesus. And he's talked to me and he says, you know, Phil, he says, when I'm in my shorts and my t-shirt and just kicking back, I can have a lot better conversations because they're a lot simpler. Because when I am in my suit and my tie and trying to be my professional engineering self, people are intimidated. He says, and when I have people in my home and I want to tell them about the most important thing in my life, which is my God, they listen to me a lot better when I look just like they do. I'm just as comfortable as they are. And we talk about nothing terribly, terribly pressing on our minds, just about how our day is going, what things could have been better. And then we let it go. We're like children. And it was because of him that I thought about doing this today. Because he, I didn't even know, was a Christian until he came out with his shorts to here and his t-shirt to there. And I said, doesn't that hurt when your belly gets all sunburned? And he was sunburned that day. And he says, no, but come on over and we'll talk about it. And we went in his backyard and he says, you know, you've got tea, coffee. He says, my wife even makes sweet tea. And that's something I haven't had for a long time. And we began to talk. And he noticed that at Christmas time, I put up the nativity scene and the reason for the season sign. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yeah. Oh, well, good. Let me tell you about when I met God. When God came into my life and we had something in common immediately. And we were like two kids chatting about Dad. Try it. You don't have to be overt about it. But when somebody arrives in your home, arrives in your life, enjoy them. Greet them like a child. You'll know quickly enough whether they want something off of you or whether they just want to know you. And then just be yourself. Be the child of God. Tell them about Daddy. And we'll see where we go from there. In Matthew, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master. When your kid came home for the first time with a B+ or an A on their report card, how did you feel? How did you react? Okay, yeah. All right, try and do better next time. If you do that to a child, what happens? Yeah. So when people we see come into our lives and they've done something that they're proud of, doesn't matter what it is, whether it was walking the dog for the first time all the way around the block without having the dog pull, look at what happened to me. Or whether it's, I just found the woman that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. React the same, just like a kid. Wow, that's great. Because people expect us to be something, don't they? Doesn't matter what we try and be ourselves. People often expect something different from us. And if you meet somebody in their joy and just build on it, you're going to make friends. If you meet somebody with a totally analytical mind, oh, so that went well for you. Why did that go well for you? What are the three steps you took to make that go well for you? Oh, could you try adding, you know, maybe this instead of that, and you might have a better income and a better outcome of it, and the person walks away going, I thought it was great that I got that 3% raise, and he says I should have gotten 7. No. Wow, you got 3% today? That's great. I'm so happy for you. I'll bet that's going to make a big difference in your life, isn't it? It's not? Okay, well, great. Well, you know, at least we're still here. We still know each other. We can have a good time together, right? Yeah. Be the child. Enjoy the child. Meet the child. Every day. As we wrap up today, try and think this week, just a couple of times, of what it would be like to react as a child to what's going on around you and to react in a family of God way. And don't try and analyze it. Don't try and make it anything more than it is. Saw Norm at Walmart. We had a coffee together. It was great. instead of, saw Norm at Walmart, and he knows I don't like coffee, but he wanted to go for coffee again. Oh, I think we talked about something. But I couldn't get by having to drink that coffee again. Instead of, wow, Liz is my wife. I met Norm today. We went for a coffee. Oh, I know I don't drink coffee, but we had the best conversation. And guess what? Norm fell out of a tree. He was trying to climb a tree this week because some idiot on Sunday told him he should be like a child. But I think he's going to be all right in 6 weeks when he gets a cast off his leg. But we had a great conversation. We really did. Yeah. May was there with the chainsaw at the bottom of the tree. You just keep going up higher, dear, higher. Yeah. Okay. So I'd like to pray for us as we end this. Father, we are so grateful to have you as our daddy. We've talked for weeks now on who's your daddy, what's your daddy put in your hand. And we focused on you, the Father. Well, Lord, today we focused on what it's to be like to be one of your children and to experience the joy of a child as we get closer and closer to our Father. So, Lord, give us all opportunities this week to be a little bit childish. And Lord, offer us the opportunities to react to others in an open, loving way, the same as a child would. So God, as we go about our work this week, provide us with opportunities to demonstrate what it is to be a child of the living God. What it is to be loved by someone who had so much love, he created an entire universe so that we could be here. And Lord, keep us mindful of how you would have us greet future children of yours. Help us to adopt them into our families so that we can adopt them into your family. And help us to be loving, caring, responsible parents as well as children. Lord, we ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. There will be no lost song because I can't sing. The only way I carry a tune is in a basket. So I hope everybody has a great week and enjoys some of the activities that are going on this week in the church. And we'll see you all back here next week. Have a good week.